Alexa, what is the baddest podcast in the land?
Here's Pulling Back the Curtain podcast registered from Amazon Music. Playing the latest episode.
On today's show, we pull back the curtain on myths that should be dispelled and much, much more. Audience, we are back. What up, DJ?
I can't sit here and not pretend that this has not been one of the hardest stretches of life I've went through the last couple of months. So I'm hanging in there. I am here. I'm grateful to be here. Glad to be back. But it's been a journey, man.
There's just been a lot going on, right? You know, you've had things going on. I've been traveling all over the globe covering things. And honest, that's not an excuse, but again, it's life, right? And the thing is that we are back, and DJ and I, we are hoping that we could be a little bit more regular with the show. I'm hoping that the things that we've experienced the last couple of months, hopefully they can, you know, fuck off, because it's been a lot.
And actually, I'll speak to that, like what it was, just to give y'all the transparency. But yeah, I lost my grandmother on February 19th to her battle with cancer. So it's just been, it's been a rough one. Just to give the simple short facts, she had multiple myeloma, it's called, for longer than I've been alive. It was 25 years or so. And then in October or so, she got lung cancer. So when treating the lung cancer, they didn't treat the multiple myeloma, and that's what ultimately got her. So it's just, that's first grandparent I've lost. So that's the other part of it too, is this is like uncharted territory for me, which has been rough. And then the weirdest part is trying to jump back into normal life, like you didn't just have your whole world shaken about, is kind of the part that's been the hardest. You know, like going back to school and professors like, you have a paper due. And I'm like, hold on, man. Like, I just got back. Hold on, what you mean paper due? But like, that's college for you, so.
Well, not just college, DJ, that's life. Yeah. You know, and that's one of the things that you learn. And I'll tell you a really interesting story. I remember working with somebody in corporate one time, and he lost his brother. Something happened tragically with his brother. And I'll never forget this. He was off work for that 1 week, maybe like a week and a half. And most people that listen to the show, you guys know that in my corporate life, I was in sales. Well, quotas don't stop. And I don't know if he thought that he was going to get quota relief or something was going to happen, you know, to kind of, you know, show his human side to what he experienced. Didn't happen. He obviously didn't hit quota that month, and he got put on a PIP. So what I learned a long time ago is companies, people, but at the end of the day, man, people don't care.
Yeah.
And it's tough when you think about that, right? Because when you have a loss, right, that's the thing that's central in your universe. And it's the thing that you're just like, no, man, give me some time. You know, give me some time. And the world's looking at you like, there's a deadline here. This is due. Your rent's due. I don't care.
No, literally, like, that's the part that's been so hard, trying to, like, jump back in. And then also, too, in the, like, trying to jump back in and pretend I'm okay when it's like, I know I'm not. Like, I know I'm tragically scarred right now and grieving, but it's still like, the world didn't stop spinning. So I have to now keep going and also like pretend the world, like everything's good. And I'm like up to date. And it's like, I know I'm not. Like I'm holding my marbles together, just trying to get through this last little month of the semester. And I'm just like, yeesh, like this is going to be a tough one.
Well, man, DJ, I can't say this enough that, you know, your family, they've been in my thoughts. And obviously, man, you know how I am with this kind of stuff, man. I overstand, right? And just whatever you need, like I said, we'll continue to do what's best for you. This show's going to be good regardless, right? Like, but my thing is, I'm sure the audience is glad to have you back. Glad to hear us back here on the microphone. But audience, as I always say on this show, we love you guys. And without you, we wouldn't be. But at the same time, hey, when this matters of life and death, you know, sometimes the show doesn't go on, and that's just the way that I like to do things over here.
Yeah. I mean, between that and watching my bracket get busted, you know, I'm glad to be back on here doing something different.
Audience, a lot of you guys probably follow what we're doing here on the other side of Chicago State of Mind, so you'll see that the Illini, they got bounced out of the tournament after the second round. Nothing really to report there. But I will say, DJ, I've told you this before, and audience, I will just continue to say, college basketball honestly, it's probably my favorite thing that I cover out of all the stuff that we cover. But college basketball, man, it's just, well, people will probably argue with me now with all the portal shit and all the NIL and the transfer portal. But to me, still, man, that's where I really like. I love March Madness. I love the energy in those arenas, man. And I just love like just being in those press conferences. I know some people in the media, they go in the locker rooms pre and post. I don't do that shit. I think it's weird. Those guys on the beat will be like, "Hey, Prez, you going to the locker room?" I'm like, "Am I playing today?" "No." Then why would I go in the locker room? See, people that never played, they don't understand that the locker room is a sacred place. And I don't give a fuck if I do have a credential. I'm never going in the locker room. My personal
Really?
opinion. Oh yeah, I don't do that shit.
I'm gonna disagree with you there, because I post game.
You know what? You listen. I'm not looking for you to agree or disagree. I'm just telling you what Prez does over here, pre or post. You don't belong in there. That's their place. That's a sacred place for the players. They don't want you in there, and we don't, media don't belong in there. But go ahead. What were you getting ready to say?
I think for me, the post game to go, because I covered March Madness, I was there for some for Providence, and to me, going in there post game, I think that was easier, and I got better quotes going to them directly as opposed to in the scrum in the like,
I'm
yeah.
not disputing that, but what I'm telling you is, as a former athlete and as talking to these guys off the record, they don't like us even in there. So I'm glad that your job is easier, but that's a place where they could be able to be themselves, to be unarmed. They don't have to have their guard up. And then now you have 40 people running around with cameras and putting recorders in their face in their
That's
locker room.
fair. That's fair.
Yeah.
I'll give you that.
Yeah. Just put yourself in that position. See, I try to do things differently over here with Chicago State of Mind and the way that we work, and we're not doing that. But what I'm saying for me, and the reason why I was sharing what I was sharing was players should not be treated like animals. And I think that the media in large detail treat them that way. And that's why a lot of times these players give half-canned responses. They don't really want to talk. They don't really want to build a relationship because they don't trust people in media. And why would you trust somebody in media? When most of the people in media are clout chasing, they're not in it for the player. It's just a lot of stuff. I'm not gonna get all into to that on this show. But me personally, media members, stay the fuck out of the locker room. They don't want you in there. Promise you. It's like one of those things like with guys, when they some 50-year-old guy, he's at fucking spring break with 18 and 19-year-olds. Bruh, stay your ass at home. They don't want you there, man. I promise you, they don't want you there. I know it's easier for you, 50-year-old. I know it's easier for you, 50-year-old, to close the deal. Yeah, I hope so. I really do. Stay your ass at home.
Nah, that come here, 50-year-old white man. It's kind of, I guess you didn't say white, but that's what I pictured. I can't lie.
Oh,
But
yeah. Oh, yeah. That's
I
what I was
mean,
referring
yeah,
to.
but yeah, that's kind of, that was wild. He said they don't want you there.
They don't want you there. Just speaking of. Not one is over there. Donald Trump.
Oh, gee.
Now, audience, I think it's kind of been like a blessing in disguise for me that I haven't been on this microphone to kind of speak through like what's been going on in this country. But you guys knew it was inevitable that we was going to turn this microphone back on and I'm going to have to speak on what's going on. So the last time DJ and I were on the show, we recorded and we talked about a lot of the atrocities that this new administration has kind of put everyone through. Now, DJ, none of the things that I discussed, none of the things that you discussed during the campaign trail, none of what's happening now has surprised me much. Now, I'm
Nope.
okay with the fact that, and I want to preface it, I want people to make sure that they're listening when I say this. Now, I'm okay with some of the things that are happening to certain people because this is what you signed up for. So, my battles aren't going to be for people that don't see things the way that I see things. And I know that sounds selfish, and I'm okay with that because you made your decision when you went to the ballot box, right? Just like I made my decision. But now that things aren't going the way that you envisioned that they want to go, now you want to come over here by me and say, "Man, he lost his mind, hasn't he?" He never had one to begin with.
No, literally. You know what the craziest part is? I didn't realize till the other day. It hasn't even been 100 days yet of him in office. Like,
Good
why I
Lord,
thought it was.
I thought it's been 2 years already. You
You
serious?
know,
No,
I
I'm just
really
playing.
like, no, like literally, no, no, like honestly, honest to goodness, like when I first got back to school, I got in a class and someone was like, "Oh, it hasn't even been like a month yet." I was like, "What?" I was like, "What you mean it hasn't been a month yet?" I was like, "Why? I feel like it's been like 250 days minimum." Like, and like you said, the atrocities. Look, respectfully, karma sucks. I'm with you on this one. With utmost respect, people. I can't really feel guilty for y'all when it's like this is what y'all signed up for. You should have known what you were signing up for here. It is definitely ridiculous. I mean, now I'll admit one of the things that I realized I've heard this from a couple different people, and I have to get your thoughts on this, Brett. And I agree with these people where it's like I feel like this man is definitely trying to incite people to protest so he can claim martial law. Because it's like I don't I, like. Or he definitely trying to get a rise out of everybody. Cause I'm just like some of the stuff he's just doing. It's just like you just really trying to start some shit. Like he just realistically is, and I'm just it's ridiculous. I mean, not that I'm surprised, but it's still ridiculous.
I'll just say this, DJ. The man signed 76 executive orders, and I believe you were saying earlier in 67 days of his administration so far.
Yeah.
I mean, that's more than he signed in any single year during his first term. So I don't necessarily know what I want to say his thought process is behind any of this shit. But what we're seeing playing out, DJ, it's just nonsense, right? When they sat up here and they had the president from Ukraine come in, Zelensky, and they pretty much dressed the dude down on live TV. First of all, why is something like that being broadcast? This is a sit-down meeting with the world leader. You should be having that discussion behind closed doors. This is a real world. We shouldn't have that. See, that's what I'm saying is there's so much of this shit that's going on right now. It's so much that's happening so quickly to try to dismantle a system that the system was designed, like I said before, the way that you guys intended for the system to work. So why is he going so much in on trying to change things? That's the part I don't get.
Yeah, it is. I mean, the rewriting of everything is genuinely insane. I mean, between that and then the whole tariffs thing is that's a whole nother can of worms. Like it's like you said, so much. Like you said, and think about such a little time, so much has happened. Because like even with the Zelensky thing and some other stuff like with the tariffs and taxing countries, and I think my biggest issue with that, without a doubt, is the diplomacy factor. Because at this point, clearly this man's gonna incite something and. Now it's the part where I'm like, if you incite a war, you best not piss off nobody, because then no one's gonna or piss off our allies, because now that's a whole bigger issue at hand there. Like I will go as extreme to say like when this man incites World War III, like I will go that far only because I in a world it's like I can see it happening, which is kind of scary to say that I can so calmly be like I could see another world war happening with this man because he just be inciting stuff. Like you said, behind closed doors, that conversation definitely should have been behind closed doors. And you put him out in public, like, yeah, it's, oh, goodness.
I don't know, man. And then people have been reaching out to me and they've been like, hey, I know that you know how you feel about Trump and this and that. And I'm like, don't reach out to me saying, you know how I feel about Trump. You should be reaching out to me telling me, damn, I see how this shit's going and this shit ain't going so right. Don't look at me and say, oh, I know you don't like him. The fact that you are coming to me and saying, I know you don't like him and you ain't saying those same words means you didn't follow my advice that I told you 6 months ago to stay the fucking far away from me. I meant that. I fucking meant that. Didn't shy away from those words. Still don't. Fuck off.
Nah, no, literally
But
though.
what a lot of people are doing though is they're going down a rabbit hole of saying, but he's doing a good job with eliminating government wasteful spending and blah blah blah. And I said, oh my God, I'm like, that's so great that all that money that they're saving by cutting programs and departments out. I'm glad that's going to go to anything that's going to benefit you or me or anyone that looks like me. That shuts him up real quick.
I
Because
mean,
all that shit that he sit over here allowing Elon Musk to do, yeah, Elon Musk,
I
that you're allowing this man to do, he's like the fucking vice president of the United States for all I'm concerned right now. But
honestly.
you letting him run roughshod over everything.
We are in the darkest timeline. I just want to say that on record. We are in the darkest timeline. As someone who believes in alternate universes, we must be in one of the worst ones. Like, I think the only one that might be below us is a zombie apocalypse at this rate. Like, genuinely. Because there's this, like, how, why does someone like an Elon Musk, why is he even in there? Like, we obviously can go that, we can start there. But, like, the fact that he's actually giving him, like, time to speak and, like, some sort of almost like power in a sense, it's actually, like, insane to me. Like I can't wrap my head around that sometimes. That like this man, and then like what he put like a think tariffs on like an auto tariff, and I'm like, well now he's helping his boy out, and I'm like, oh goodness. Like I can't wrap my head around that whole situation because it's so crazy to me to think of just like a regular dude. Well, I shouldn't say regular, but like a billionaire, because I guess that ain't regular, but a billionaire in the sense now has like, I mean they already have their own power, and that's I know that part, but now like governing power. In a way, is actually insane to me.
So the thing is that I think a lot of people are on both sides, right? And I think that for me, the way I stand is I want everybody to have the same opportunities, even though I know that that will never be a thing, just because look at the way our world is designed and set up, right? It'll never be a thing. But that's kind of where I come from. That if somebody's willing to put the work in, if people are willing to go out there and go get it, then I want them to have whatever it is that they want, right? But the way that this shit is becoming is a world where billionaires are sitting here and they're trying to take everything that's out there. I mean, everything that's out there. And there's no more middle class. I'm sorry. I continue to keep telling people that, folks, I remember when I first made $100,000. This was like 15, maybe 17 years ago. During that time when I was making six figures, man, you couldn't tell me shit. Bro, I was flossing on these motherfuckers, DJ. You couldn't tell me nothing. Now look at the kids coming out of college, bro, and they paying these cats $50,000. And I'm like, what you supposed to do with that? And I'm not trying to be like the guy that's over here trying to tell you, oh, that ain't no real money. It's okay. But my whole thing is what I'm saying to you right now is, these companies out here, they're designed to get more out of you and only give you partial. They only want to give you less. And they want to just keep pushing and keep pushing and keep pushing productivity out of you. And you know what's going to come next? When you got a guy like Elon in the mix, a guy like Bezos in the mix, Zuckerberg in the mix with Trump, what do you think is coming next, audience? This AI shit is real. You already got journalists that are using ChatGPT to write their fucking articles, and then they get fucking exposed by doing that. What's gonna stop a newspaper in the future from just saying, you know what? We don't even need journalists. What's to stop anybody from doing anything? Like I know companies, DJ, where I talk to people, they're just like, they use Gainsight on Salesforce. Yeah, Salesforce, you just got some free advertising with us. Come holler at your boys. But Gainsight is all this AI stuff that's giving sales leaders and sales companies all of this valuable insight to help sell into their accounts. Why do you need such a large sales force if you have a computer system that's doing what these people are paid to do, which is go get that information? So a lot of the information that we're talking about on this show, yeah, we could talk to you guys about tariffs. Yeah, we could talk to you about the spending and how they're cutting this and cutting that. But at the grand genesis of it, what you're seeing right now played out is billionaires, greed, and making more money for the rich. And damn anybody else that's outside of that. And you'll have these millionaires and they'll play in our face and they'll act like they care so much. These motherfuckers don't give a fuck because they laughing all the way to the bank too. Miss me with your pandering. Come holler at me when you in the same situation as me. Shit, if your name showing up on some Epstein shit, or even was if you even worried about showing up on some Epstein list, you and I, we ain't the same.
Not at all. But it is still like wild to think. Like you said, there was a time where you getting six figures was enough, that you were good. Now, especially with all the different inflations and all the other issues too, but then on top of that, like they are making people struggle and they're keeping the people that down low, like they're keeping the lower class at the low. Like they don't want no one moving up the system. And like that's the part that is obviously fucked up, like let's without a doubt. But it's also just insane to think of like how it's like the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. And it really, and just watching this all happen in real time, especially for me, someone who's coming into adulthood, someone who's graduating soon, like seeing all that in real time, it's just alarming.
You know, I do want to say something, DJ, while we're still on this topic. One of the things that's really been bothering me about all of this Trump stuff is the Democratic Party. And in my mind, I've thought they've been kind of weak in leadership. They've been kind of weak and kind of like doing something, right? I mean, you remember John Q when his wife was like, "Do something, John," right? And you fucking felt that emotion. And that's kind of how I've been over here. I'm like, do something. What are you? The fuck?
No, right. Loki, you're spitting with that. Because
But
I feel like they've rolled over a little bit on their belly and just cooked.
I was gonna say though, not Al Green from Texas. They had to escort my man up out of there. I'm talking about, why is it the old guy on the cane got more fight and more heart than the people that's in Congress that's 30 years younger than him, or whatever the case may be? They tried to tell that man to take a seat, and he said, "No, this is a lie." He stood on business. How many people in their day-to-day lives notice some shit's fucked up? They know the shit is wrong, and they just stand by and they just let the shit happen. That's my problem with a lot of people in this world. People just stand by a DJ, and they're just okay with things, and they're just like, "Oh, whatever. It doesn't affect me. I'm still good over here." Well, that's why none of this shit gets better. And I will say, when you look at a lot of these politicians, they are rich. You're supposed to be public servants. Why you got millions of dollars in the bank? I never understood that. Somebody really needs to explain that shit to me. I look at the net worth of a lot of these politicians. I'm like, you got a lot of fucking money in the bank. Thought your salary was like $160,000. Where did you get your investment strategies from?
Stealing like they Robin Hood but the opposite way. But
No,
also
it's because it's called inside trading. That's what I was
well
getting at,
yeah
DJ. That's what I was getting at. The audience, they knew where I was going with that. My point is that there's a lot of us out here that made 160 or whatever the case may be. We ain't got net worth of fucking 10 or $20 million. So my whole thing is, when I sit here and what I'm saying is that these people need to fucking step up and they need to do something besides fucking counting the money in their piggy bank. That's my problem. So
I
salute to
get
Al Green, though, like for real. And that's the thing. You got to know that that shit was at a boiling point for this 71-year-old man to be like, "No, fuck that. I'm not sitting down. Do what you're going to do to me." And you know what? Tell me why there was Democratic people that voted against his actions, that he was censored. Y'all should have fucking been standing behind that man. He shouldn't have been the only one. Who else was in there was like, "Nah, fuck this. I'm standing up too. You got to censor my ass as well." They didn't do that.
I also to the Al Green point, I also mentioned the Tennessee State Representative Justin Pearson. I don't know if you heard about that, but him with the gun violence, and that's someone else I feel like is actually doing something and saying something about all that's going on. Granted, that's in more in-state, but like I would also give him some credit too, because I watched him the other day stick up in defense of, what something that's happened to him personally with the gun violence in Tennessee. So that's someone else I think we definitely need to give a shout out to as well. So basically, in the Tennessee House of Representatives, they were having a meeting about gun violence and like a new gun policy. As we all know and have witnessed the gun violence in this country, and basically one of the other people on the like in the meeting kind of was getting a little sad. Like, one of them old white dudes was getting a little sassy and getting disrespectful, as politics has kind of turned into now, just very disrespectful debates all around. And at one point in this, you mentioned the censoring. Basically, Representative Pearson lost his brother recently to gun violence. So he passionately is up there speaking about why we need to fix this and change this. And at one point, they were trying to get him to stop talking. So they kept being like, "Representative Pearson, Representative Pearson." And they tried to turn his mic off. But he was so loud that he could still hear him after they turned the mic off on him. And I was like, I give that brother some credit, because they were trying to censor him and he was not allowing it. Also, when the man gets disrespectful and is talking about his family now and getting rude to his brother who died of gun violence, I'm like, I give him some credit for that, because the fact that he stood up for his family is like, you don't come from my family like that. I gotta give him some credit too.
No, salute to him as well, but there needs to be more like that. It should just be these one-off situations that we're naming, right?
That is true.
Should just be these two people. Like I'm saying, that they all were supposed to be fighting for the people, right? But they're not. Again, what it comes down to is they're out for their own, unfortunately, it's out for their own devices. It's for their own riches, for what's going to be in their best interest. And it sucks. Now, when I was talking about a lot of the things that Trump has rolled out, DEI has been another one of those things, right? And you can see now that it's starting to spread to not only corporations, some of our educational institutions across the country, right? University of Michigan, they've rolled back their stuff. And the Department of Defense, they tried to do that shit, DJ.
Man, that pissed me off. Like, cause I'll be on, I'm one of those people. I have so much respect for Jackie Robinson. I know it was a bunch of stuff, but especially with like a Jackie, cause that's where I saw so many different things coming out of this that were all just to me insane and ridiculous. The one trying to erase a bunch of stuff is just wild in its own right. Cause now you're trying to purge history and files, and you're trying to hide the past, and that censoring stuff. I don't like that. But then too. With the whole DEI, I call this DEI garbage at this point. That's what it is. Because then this discourse I started to see around like a Jackie Robinson per se, with someone's like, he's a DEI hire. First of all, everybody likes just yelling that claim at people. I feel like people not understanding what it means. Because they're like, well, people then arguing like, no, he's not. Yes, I'm like, first of all, if anything, he's the exact reason why this had to be put in place. Because he, like many of those athletes back in that time, we're good enough to be there, and you wouldn't let them there. So we have to now put laws in place to make y'all play fair. That is literally the definition of all of this. And now we're trying to run it back and make the game unfair, which we've been already talking about. And it's actually just full blown to me, just ridiculous. And I just, to me, especially with the Department of Defense, and this is a question I've thought about recently, and I'd argue it's already there, but how do you now, as like a self-respecting black man, go help this country? Like, how do you fight for this country when they're basically taking down other people's military files who did stuff for this country?
Well, DJ, I can say a lot about that, meaning how can you as a black man, not you specifically, but there's black men that are listening to this. How can you as a black man vote for a guy like Donald Trump?
Right.
How can you as a black man wear a hat and what that signifies? How can you as a black man be in law enforcement? There's a
Right.
lot of things that I can say that shit about. And I've never been one that sat up here and said, oh, I'll fight for this country. Fuck this country. What's this country done for me and the people that look like me? I had relatives that fought in the wars, and they were the first ones that were butchered because they were the first in front of some damn battle and they got wiped out. They didn't care about us, and they still don't care about us. I think that's a fair question, DJ, but for me, when I hear stuff like that, I'm like, they've never cared.
Right.
And DEI. That whole thing is a misconception because more white people have benefited from DEI than anybody that looks like me or you.
That too. That part too. That part too, truly.
Yeah, look at white women. They're the direct beneficiary of DEI.
Speak on
But
it.
when I hear this DEI stuff, all that to me is another word for saying the N-word for white people. It's their new woke. And this is another thing too. I remember when we used to say work woke, stay woke, black man. Right? We had that word because it was ours. Just like with anything, we can't have anything without them taking it and trying to reappropriate it.
Nope.
So now they took the word woke and turned it into a negative. And they're doing the same thing with DEI.
Yeah.
But see, the thing about it is, though, is that people that look like you and me, DJ, we don't use our big boy voices. We also don't stand on business. We know people in our everyday lives, bro, that be out here, they be trying to, like Kwame Bryant said, the go along, get along gang. We know people that just go along with it. Oh, you know what? It's okay, man. I'm making money. You know, I don't want to rock the boat. You know, no, fuck that. Rock that shit. What are you talking about? Listen, a long time ago, I learned this, and I'm so, bro, I've been so free ever since I realized this. 100% of the people that I come across in the world are not gonna like me. And guess what? I am A-O fucking K with that. Because the people that do fuck with me, they know what it is. And them the people that I want around me. I don't want to be around some people when I gotta fucking bite my tongue and I can't fucking be who I really am in the hopes that I have like this fucking fake ass fucking dialogue and rapport with this person? Fuck that. I'm good. I'd much rather you know that if you say some shit around me that I don't fucking rock with, there's gonna be some smoke following. But the problem is, DJ, that a lot of ours, they don't stand those shit, man. They just go along with things. Or they just like get quiet on stuff. Fuck being quiet. Being quiet is why we in this situation now. Now, it took outrage for them to put that article pertaining to Jackie Robinson back up. And y'all gonna try to act like that was an accident. That wasn't no damn accident.
Yeah, that was a lie. That was a full-blown lie.
No,
Accident
it,
my
I know it
ass.
was a lot, but my point is though, it showed you our power, man, when we fucking speak up and we stand on fucking business because they got that shit put back up on that damn website. But why don't we use our power more so? Why we only use it for shit like Jackie Robinson? And I ain't taking no fucking shots at Jackie Robinson. Great man. He'll do it a lot. But this stuff on our day-to-day basis, man, that affects us and our future generations. And we say nothing. We do nothing. Cats be out here more worried about who Sexy Red fucking around with than shit that's actually pertaining to their day to day.
Worry about the wrong shit. We've said that a couple times on here.
Bruh. 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 And when that man at the Defense Department said DEI is dead, what do you think that he's referring to?
Right.
That's what I'm trying to say. I know people gonna listen to this and man, press, you always be pressed. Yeah, why aren't you pressed? I know why I'm pressed. Y'all remember the mad rapper? Tell me why you mad, son. I will tell you why I'm mad, son. There's a whole life experience of things why I'm mad. I didn't ask to fucking be brought up the way that I was brought up, but guess what? Shit, it happened. Now all this is y'all problem. Y'all gotta deal with me now. See, that's the problem, DJ. They don't want to deal with him. Yeah, I'm speaking about myself in third person because what I'm saying is the problem is you put us in these conditions, right? Grew up without a father, grew up in the inner city, saw people struggling, saw people going without, saw friends of mine dying with gang violence, saw how drugs and gangs pillaged the communities that I grew up in, saw people that I knew in my communities that were smarter than me get locked up. I saw a lot of shit, man, before the time I was 15 years old for a lifetime. So I'm gonna be strong in my opinions about stuff because I see the conditions that were put here to keep people down, to keep people that look like me and DJ down. And people want to sit up here and try to act like that we got so much. Please show me what the fuck we got so much of. Please. Everything in this life that I have is because I built that shit on my fucking own. I worked in corporate sales as a black man, selling to people in the South. You think that shit was easy?
I assume not.
But you know what though, DJ? What I will tell you this, you'll be surprised to hear this. Those people are actually nicer than the people in the North. Those are the people that I had problems with because I was a black man.
Honestly, it doesn't shock me. Only because of someone from the North, especially like the upper Northeast. The subliminal, like coded racism, I've learned how to read it. So I know for me personally in the South, that out in your face Confederate flag, like, I can't do it. But if you are not from here, it is definitely way more disrespectful than in the South. Because in the South, they let you, most people, I feel like anyway, from my experience, they let you know that they don't like you. And it's like, stay away from me. And I'm like, cool, I'll stay away from you, as you kind of say. Like that goes more your pace. In the North, they'll shake you.
I just rather you steal on me than to fucking sit here and hide behind that shit.
Exactly. And that's where I'm like,
That's it.
in the North, they shake your hand, look you dead in your face, and secretly hate you. That's now, since someone who grew up with it, like, I'm used to it. I know how to maneuver through it. But if you're not from here, it is some messed up shit. I am not gonna pretend it isn't. Because I've seen people talk about it, like people from the South who come like a Howard or like who've come up north and like experienced it and been like, what is this? I'm like, oh yeah, no, it's real sneaky. It sneak up on you. Because especially them textbooks will make you fool you with the whole the North's better than the South stuff too. In them history textbook, they if you read some of that and you don't come up here, they'll get you. They'll get you and make you think it's all sweet up here. And it sure ain't. This some BS. That's what it be.
But my greater point about that was just mostly saying that that wasn't given. I had to go out there and get it just like my counterparts. I had to be good at my job. I had to be good at my craft. And matter of fact, I had, well, twice as good as the people around me.
I'd argue 10.
Whatever the percentage is, I was better than all of
Yep. Tell
them. And that's not even a flex because that shit's
him.
Googleable straight up.
Oh, he said Google me. I know you're not trying to flex, but you low key just bust out your shirt with the muscles real quick. That was kind of crazy. He said Google me.
I'm just trying to tell you a story, DJ. That's all I'm trying to tell you. But man, I just think that honestly, I just wish that we stood on business more as a people. I wish that we cared about more than the almighty dollar. People that know me personally know this story is true. I walked away from a job that was paying me, I'm not going to get into numbers, significant amount of money per year. So when I left corporate, I said, I'm done with this shit. I'm never going to sell my soul for money. And if I find that the company that I worked with, or people that I work with, or the people that I reported to, man, if these people, if they don't have the right intentions, and if what we're doing is not what is actually saying that we're supposed to be doing, and we're just taking people's money, nah, man, I'm not built for no damn Ponzi schemes. I don't do that shit. If I'm gonna sit and get you to invest some money in something, it needs to work. It needs to do what the fuck it says it's gonna do. And there's a lot of people in this world, it's not just about when it comes to money, but they just don't have any principles. They're not guided by nothing. Listen, I grew up broke. And honestly, I always say this, and my old co-host Jules said it all the time. I was happier broke than I am with a couple dollars in my pocket. You know why? Because I ain't know about that other side that was over here. All I knew in my bubble was that I'm loved, I got a roof over my head. And I'm by people or surrounded by people that give a damn about me. You can never replace that old school inner city bubble. The whole neighborhood looked out after you. I had a whole neighborhood of aunts and cousins and grandmas and moms. You don't have that shit anymore. So I was fortunate. See, a lot of people, they want to see here DJ and they'll be like, oh man, dude, Prayers, that's unfortunate. You grew up without a father or prayers. That's unfortunate, this and that. Yeah, I used to feel sorry for myself when I was a shorty. But then I realized, like, the fuck? You can't miss something that you never had. Come on now. Shit.
That's real.
But what I did have was love, man. And my thing is, though, we had, as a people, I'm talking to our people right now when I say this. We as a people, we have forgotten that love for each other. Look what happened to that brother, Mr. Wilson. Caleb Wilson, 20 years old, college kid, not here because he pledged a fraternity and it was a death wish for him. Why? Why? I've shared this story on this show before, and I had some of my old pledge brothers. Hey, I had the nerve to get mad at me. Talking about you talked about stuff that wasn't supposed to be talked about. Fuck you. I'm talking about stuff that can help other people, man, so that they don't fucking do the same dumb shit that we was doing. Over 25 years ago, I pledged. And after that experience of what I went through online, I have been outspoken about hazing and the consequences for anyone that takes part of that shit and those rituals, because that's all that shit is a ritual. The shit ain't right. And there's a lot of people, DJ, that wear them letters. And they'll probably scouts, they're gonna have so much shit to say to me when I say this. I don't care. Because I just sell my soul for some damn letters. Sorry.
Nah, that's real.
I went to school for a BA. Y'all motherfuckers went to school for the three letters on your chest, and none of these motherfuckers got money. But you gladly run in here talking about some, yeah, I walked, I crossed the line, and you got the dates for that. What was your daughter's birthday?
Ooh.
Again, as a people, we gotta be better to each other. Now, when I pledged, I thought, you know what? This is cool, man. I remember growing up as a kid, I had family members that were Greek, and I used to see. Well, my cousins would come home from college And their sorority sisters, they will come stay at my grandmother's house. My grandmother would cook for them. They would be over at the crib. And you know me, DJ, I'm over here trying to fucking hang out with the college girls. I'm like 10 years old, talking about what we doing today. Like, I was on it like that. But my point is, I saw a sisterhood. My male cousins, I saw them in the Greek life. I saw a brotherhood. So in my mind, I'm thinking, well, shit, when I go to college, I'm a pledge. And what I will say, DJ, is my experience was nothing like the experience that I acknowledged from the people in my family. And matter of fact, it was totally a nightmare because physically beating somebody to earn some damn letters, like, that's just dumb.
That's wicked.
But you know what the problem is? Is that's just never going to end because everybody that goes through that ritual, they didn't feel that they got to do it to somebody else because that person has to earn those letters because this is what I did to get them. It's never going to stop.
That's the worst part, though, is knowing that's not going to stop. And between your story and this what happened to Caleb Wilson, it's the exact reason why I never entertained this to begin with. As someone went to an HBCU, people asked me, and I was like, no, I'm good. Because I, kind of like how you said, was like, I am not gonna get hazed and beat up and whatever to put some letters on my back and have some extra friends. Respectfully, I'm good. I am good. I've met people. Funny thing is, you meet people in it and you ask them about it, and I'm like, oh, so you, what they do to you? And they're like, oh, I. And like someone I know close enough was like, oh, I'm not supposed to say. And I'm like, okay, but you just secretly submitted to the fact that we're still doing the same garbage. I was like, yeah, no, I'm good. I'm no, thank you. I and to me, as much as I understand the brotherhood part of it and the sisterhood part of it, I have other friends. I will be okay without getting beat up. I'm good. No, thanks.
Yeah,
I'm all set.
but I think the greater good of it, what the fraternity was set up for
Yeah.
initially, which is what I observed from it, was what I thought was cool and good and
Well,
giving back to the community and all those different things. What I'm sharing about my situation is me and what I saw growing up and what I experienced was two different things. And with anything, people change things. What things are started out as aren't what they end up becoming.
yeah.
So for me, because anybody would not be surprised to know that if I'm turning down jobs that are paying XYZ, you probably also wouldn't be surprised to know that I decided I'm not proceeding with this shit. Fuck all this. And I did. Now, did I have people that I was friends with that I was no longer friends with because they decided to continue on? Sure. They looked at me as a traitor. And guess what? Again, what I'd say a second ago, I know that 100% of the people in the world aren't gonna fucking like me. And I'm A-okay with that. So they made the decision that they had to do for the best interests and whatever. Cool. And so do I. I'm more into making sure that our brothers and sisters are winning. I'm not trying to beat them down. It's enough people in this world that's going to do that to them. It's enough that's going on in this world that's going to beat them down. I'm not trying to add to that shit. And what happened to Caleb Wilson is a damn shame. 20-year-old kid going to school. He was a mechanical engineering major, played in the band. And I saw that band. There was some bad motherfuckers in that
You ain't
band.
kidding.
And then you beat this man up, and then you drop him off in front of the hospital. And then tell them, oh, he got sick at the park from playing basketball. Like, they're not gonna sit up here and look at all the blows that he took to his chest.
Right.
They sat there and punched this man in his chest with fucking boxing gloves. And
That is
Omega
sick.
Psi Phi, which is the fraternity, yeah, I send y'all out here. Come talk to
Ooh.
me. Our email mentions all that shit stays open. This ain't the first time they've been a part of some shit like this. They have been sued so many fucking times. And you don't get sued again this time. And good for you. Because maybe you'll fucking finally learn a lesson and say, you know what? Maybe we need to find other ways to indoctrinate people into our culture. And maybe that isn't beating the fuck out of somebody.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, I will admit that, like you said, in the origins of what it became, what it was meant for, was great. I'm not trying to take away any of that from what I said. I also would kind of say that what it was meant to be in the beginning is not what it is now. As you say, things change. It's definitely evolved into something way more performative, I feel like, than what it originally was supposed to be, personally. That's just my opinion, I admit. But in my opinion, what it was meant to be in the beginning, it's not that anymore. It's
But
now.
you know what? But I would be careful if I were you speaking on it too much, just because you've never really gone through it.
Fair.
So what I will say is, yes, I understand where you're coming from. But however, there's people out here that have actually crossed, people like me that didn't. You know, so that's why even like I kind of like even stopped, because I don't know what they do post all that bullshit. I didn't want to find out. Because for me, I'm like, this isn't what I signed up for. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I got you.
So for me, I don't want to get on here and have people like, oh, well, you know what I'm saying? You don't know the okay, fine. But what I do know is for what we're reading, how about that, people? What we're reading for what happened. This was a murder.
Yeah.
And guess what? The people that did that to him look like him. We need to be outraged about that, just like we're outraged about everything else.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta think we got our young brothers killing each other. Like, the world ain't give us enough stuff to have to worry about. And then, as you said, they're an engineering major. Like, think about the future that kid could have had,
Exactly.
that he's now getting robbed of over some ritual by another one of us. It's ridiculous.
Some bullshit, like to your point, right? Like, you know, you don't have to go through it to be able to have an opinion about the fact that this is fucking sad, it was unnecessary. And it's like, what's the point? What's the point? All these colleges know that this shit happens. They put these bullshit blanket rules out about how hazing is illegal and this and that. Okay, great. So they're not going to do it on campus. They're going to go move it to some warehouse or some off-campus location. Great. How do you sanction that? It comes down to these individual sororities and these fraternities. So again, like I said, to be creative in how it is that you want to make sure that you're, because I agree, in certain cases, you do want to weed out people. Not everybody does deserve to be a part of your organization. There's no different than DJ, the jobs that you get, or an audience, the jobs that you get. They're not going to make it easy for you to get the job. However, we gotta stop short of fucking physically assaulting people. Like, the fuck? Jesus Christ.
We can test wills without murdering folk.
Facts. Facts. When I saw his father, DJ, speaking about him, brother, it took everything in me to like hold back having emotion, man. Because I'm sitting here, I'm thinking about, I got 20-year-old kids, man, that work with us on Chicago State of Mind. That are photographers, that are videographers. And all I saw was them racing in front of me when I'm hearing his dad talk about the promise and the potential. And see, that's how we should view this. When you hear these stories, you should just be numb to it of, oh, wow, that's crazy. And then you move on about your life. No. Each one of you guys has a Caleb Wilson in your family. That could be your brother, that could be your cousin, it could be your friends or a niece or nephew, whatever the case may be. Where's our empathy? Like, we become so desensitized, man.
Yeah. I mean, the other part too is while I think about it, like you say, he's 20. I'm only 21. Like, you could say there's one in every family. Like, you could honestly make an argument that I'm the Caleb Wilson of my family. I go to HBCU. What potential I have. So, like, for that, like, it definitely, like, hits me to a place where I live where, like, in his case, like, very sad. And, you know, I'd like, think about his father having to bury his own son. Like, that, you know, like, no parent should have to bury their child.
100% correct on that. And this is the thing, dude. And when that whole LeBron and Stephen A. Smith thing jumped off, and people were kind of coming at LeBron a little bit, I kind of understood like kind of where LeBron was coming from. And you know, man, neither one of these dudes are like my top five people, right? It's like, whatever,
Yeah.
right? But as a parent, I kind of understood where LeBron was coming from in that whole thing. Like, where was you at on that?
Honestly, my thing was, just before we get into like the official what blew off, my only sort of, I guess, like beef you could say with LeBron and this whole thing, like with this whole Bronny situation, I was just, all I said was two things. I just, as long as we don't act like it's not nepotism, was one. And then I was just like, I didn't like the idea of Bronny just riding the end of the NBA bench all season, being trotted around instead of like actually developing. But they did both of those
Yeah,
things.
but keep that same energy for these white casted or these future CEOs because of their dad. Keep that same energy for your Tyler Underwoods of the world that's on the bench in Illinois, and he shouldn't be. That they're pushing out real college coaches for the Nepo coach. So what I will say, I know where you come from, but I have to say this because he ain't the first nepotism kid. And guess what?
Nope,
It's
he won't be
okay that
the
we
last.
got nepotism out here. It's about
Oh,
time.
I'm all for it. Like, I'm not against the nepotism, but like, let's just not pretend it's not. That was my only thing. I was like, I'm
I
like,
don't think that I don't think any of them ever thought that. That's just like Ice Cube's son. When people sat up here and they flex on him and they're like, "You never even had a hard life." And he's like, "Yeah, I know." He
exactly.
said, "Yeah, that's not an insult."
And that's my thing. As long as we acknowledge it, I'm cool. Like, that's all. That was
But I
my
don't even
only
think that
thing.
need, but I don't even think that needs to be said because to me, when you say stuff like that, it's almost like you giving them, well, you hear what he said, it's nepotism. No, it's the way that I look at it is that's a father giving his son opportunity. No different than what your dad's done for you in your life or your brother's lives.
Fair.
That's what fathers do. So hear me out. That's what fathers also do when they check somebody that's talking crazy about their kid.
Yes, and to that point, I just want to say that first, but to that point, yeah, Stephen Smith, that was unnecessary. There was no point to any of that. Because, and then the part where, and this is the whole back and forth garbage now, where every time one of them says something about the other one got to respond kind of thing. More so Stephen A, obviously, than LeBron. But, like, for him to kind of be all on the, like, oh, I'm just talking about the game and I'm critiquing the game. No, you said to him at one point, as a father, I beg you to stop. That's disrespectful. You're now attacking this man's family. Also, if anything, their teammates, as someone defending his teammate, you can't look, your job is to critique, but you also can't be saying stuff and then get mad people come back at you for saying the crazy stuff you want to say, especially when you want to attack somebody at that point, too. Because to me, that's where it got disrespectful and out of bounds now. Like, to me, well, we're talking about Bronny and what he's doing in the G League. I think he's doing amazing in the G League. I think he's developed and come along very great. Credit to him.
Yes, I
Amazing
agree.
credit to him. That needs to be said. But
No,
now
I
it's like,
agree.
you, that's not what he was talking about. Stephen A. Smith
No,
basically.
I think you got taken out of context for sure.
Yeah. I mean,
No,
definitely
you
take.
did.
Yeah. But still, it's just like, when you say, as a father, I'm begging, like, come on, like, in what world was that gonna work? But also, too, with the whole Stephen A thing, and this is the other part of this that I feel like people, I don't think some people realize, too. The other part of this, too, is ESPN, at least if anything, First Take has turned into Shannon Sharpe and Stephen A. Smith is going with the LeBron versus Jordan thing. So it's like they defend one and hate on the other. And it's at this point, it's ridiculous because that's all it's turned into. I mean,
That's something been trash, but I
yes,
hear
and that's the thing. Like,
you.
and honestly, I would go as far to be like, all, like, on those major networks, sports journalism is just dying as a whole because we're picking at the
Yeah,
same few
agreed.
narratives. Because respectfully, it's one of those things for someone who watches basketball all the time. We're too busy and all this Stephen A. LeBron garbage. We're not talking about the fact that the Rockets are in third place right now and actually irrelevant. The Pistons are good for the first time in how long? And like, no one cares, but we just keep hitting the
I will
same.
admit I know I don't care about either one of those things. But I also don't like the fact of what's happening with Bronny.
Yeah.
Now, what I will say is this. LeBron did force his son to come to the NBA. LeBron was trying to add to his legacy through his son, right? But no different than the other dads that lived through their kids, right?
Exactly.
He wanted to have this because LeBron's thinking about the movie. He's thinking about the movie that he's gonna have one day in life about his story,
Because he
right?
will.
Yeah, he will. So the one point with LeBron, and I'm not gonna talk about nepotism, but what I will talk about is you put this on your son. You forced him into this situation that he was not ready for. Now, has Bronny made some strides? Hell yeah. That kid's been tearing it up in the G League, but that's where he should have been all along. He definitely would have benefited from another season of college. But anyway, that's not the situation that we have right now. But my thing is, the NBA is a grown man's league. And another situation for me, LeBron. When you checked Stephen A. Smith like that, were you doing that as a father or was you doing that as a teammate? Or who was you talking to Stephen A. Smith for? Was it for all your teammates that you don't like how Stephen A. Smith does his job? Or were you coming at it from the standpoint of, you fucking with my son? I seriously want to know which one is it, because you can't do both.
I mean, the way he talked when he finally didn't spoke about it, he played the father card, but it did tread that line of like, I'm getting at you for some other stuff you said too. Like, it definitely did. Like, 'cause at one point even Brian Windhorst caught a whole string, which I was like, I don't like. I was like, he's not even part of this. Like, now that's its own, that's its own can of worms. But I'm just like, he wasn't part of this original thing to begin with. I don't see why he's catching a stray. Like, and then I admit, like with LeBron, when he responded, there was a couple times where he just kind of would just start saying stuff, and I'm like, all right, like I feel like you just kind of getting some licks back for all the years they've talked about you on the air, even though that's kind of their job at to a certain extent. Because at one point he was like, oh, when he sees us, he's going to be in this tidy whitey, he's eating ice cream. And I was like, that doesn't feel very necessary to what we're going. Like, I feel like we should be taking a high road, if anything. And that's not helping, you know?
Well, it's not, and we also shouldn't be tearing down each other again. Like I said earlier, we shouldn't do that. We should be building each other up, and that's why, for the sake of this one, again, audience. Now, LeBron and Stephen A. Smith and their crafts, I guess you would say, hey, they're the top of their games, right? Whatever. But for me, when I look at this situation, I just feel like the coverage of Bronny has been so unfair. That has made me kind of look at his dad and be like, dude, you did this to this fucking kid. He don't deserve this shit. He should be having fun right now. He should be getting scrutinized by 60-year-old men that fucking can't do five push-ups in a row. And they over here trying to talk about how this kid's a bust and he's that and this and that and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, sir, you can't even walk to your car. Like, leave this kid alone.
See, that's the part. I think nepotism might not be the right word, because that's more so my thing, is knowing that, like, as long, like you said, as long as we admit that this is something that's kind of like Bronny's, like, been put in a situation kind of thing. Like, this is, because like you said, I think another year of college was, if like, was the route that should have been taken, if not the G League, which we kind of did go to. It is just the way that it's turned into just almost like a circus, an immediate circus. But that's sort of at a larger scale what this is. These bigger networks have almost turned into, in a way, because it's actually just getting ridiculous. Because they find any reason to throw shade at him, and I'm like, he's a kid figuring out like everybody else. I don't like, why does he gotta be so scrutinized? And like, especially with the like five pushups part, that's so true. Of like, everybody's just getting the lick at it, and it's like, y'all can't even do half the stuff, and it's definitely gotten out of hand.
And let the kid be. I don't know how old he's yet, 19, 20, whatever he is. Let him be. Let him be. And another point that you brought up, which I agree with wholeheartedly, journalism as a whole is dying. But when you look at all these shows, all these dudes do is they just argue with each other. And I'm just like, dude, get out of here, man. Can we talk about the game? Can we have conversations? Why are we arguing? I mean, I know that there's going to be certain times where you don't agree with somebody, like just how you and I are, or other shows that I listen to where there's intelligent conversation. That's not intelligence when people are just screaming over each other.
No. I mean, but that's the thing with me, and as someone who, because all my friends know me as the sports guy, is even when they bring to me a Bron Jordan thing, at first it was fun. Now I'm like, I don't want to table these no more, because all it's going to be is just you want an opportunity to yell at me because I'm going to not agree with you. Because everybody in my generation is a LeBron guy, and I'm the one diamond in the rough, or the one rarity of it's Jordan. And so
That's good parenting.
right away though, Prez, where this has gotten so irritating is just they don't want to argue with facts or logic. It just wants to be the, you tell me how trash everything before 2003 is. This also the reason why when my uncle will hit me with a, why don't you include a Kareem or a Bill Russell? And I'm like, I'm too busy trying to defend the 90s. I don't even dare go any farther back than that. He's a Lakers fan, but he sticks up for Magic Johnson, and he's like, well, what about Magic? I'm like, I Magic saved basketball with Larry Bird. Them two together. I mean, they're intertwined. But like, Magic won five, shut out of the decade. But we're too busy trying to defend the 90s. I can't even go farther back than that. Because with one kid, I basically pitched him a question of like, who can you name on the Blazers in 92 besides Clyde Drexler? You can't name nobody. So stop trying to get this, act like this is some heated, like,
Jerome Kersey, Kevin Duxworth.
Tracy Porter, no mention.
Yes,
Like,
sir.
come on now, nothing.
Yes, sir.
They didn't, they, come on. Like, I can't get past that. So I'm like, it's just ridiculous. But pretty secretly, they just want to have this debate of, well, I see this on TV, and let's just go back and forth and scream at each other and say that you know what you're talking about, or you don't know ball. That's everybody's favorite phrase nowadays, is you don't know ball, which I roll my eyes at that
But
one.
you know what though? If somebody says that, then I just kind of laugh and I'm like, okay, well, if I don't know ball, then what the fuck do you know? Because it's like, come
Literally,
on now.
I roll my I genuinely roll my eyes and just ignore it. Like, I'm just like, okay. And then the best part is, speaks for me secretly, is when my friends will sit there in the corner and be like, nah, you don't know who you messing with. Like, you don't want to do that to yourself. But I'm like, to me, the whole you don't know, but like, it's just yelling and screaming. It's just a lot of just extra, and it's just garbage. And I'm just
Yeah,
like,
it's a lot of noise, right?
literally. And I'm just like, this is the part where I said, I miss Stuart Scott, man. 'Cause at least he was doing something with it.
Well, you know what? He made it fun, but he wasn't out here again, like I said earlier, about media's place in this thing. This is the players' game. And I think that a lot of media members have forgotten about that. So you got a guy like Stephen A. Smith. I've seen him show up to games, DJ. He acts like people are there to see him.
Right.
And I'm like, bro, ain't nobody here to see you, Otis. What are you doing? Like, for real. Like, bro, like, sit your ass down.
Was not ready to catch that. I was not ready for that reference to pop up, but I was thinking it in the back of my head, which made that funnier. Ain't nobody
Right.
coming to see you, Otis. No, but no, he really
Because
does
it's
act
real.
like,
Because it's
no, it really
real.
is. Like, he acts like almost like a certain type of celebrity. And I'm like, that, what are we doing? Like, I mean, come on, it's crazy. And like, as we've kind of said a couple of times, like it's like journalism in a way is like dying. And I mean, the AI and that whole thing is, that's the other, that doesn't help it at all anyway. But like, it's like we're, because like you said, part of you said, like with the Rockets and Pistons, you're like, you don't care. But no one's made you care. You know?
I was just also being contrarian.
Well, yeah, I get that. But I'm like, think about, I'm seeing there's people out there who are probably thinking that, like, I don't care. And it's like, well, we haven't made you care. That's the people that should be pushing those narratives and making it like, this is big, this is something you should think about. They're not doing that. I mean, it's the same thing with the NBA when they say we don't have a face of the league. I'm like, well, y'all haven't properly pushed somebody post LeBron, Curry, Durant. You've just stuck to the same three people. And you know what I mean? Because at this point, LeBron sneezes and they have to talk about it now with on
Oh
that show.
God.
And I'm just like, there's other things going on. But
That's
yeah, it's just,
just how it is, man. But the
yeah.
thing is, when I look at this whole situation with LeBron, this is probably the only time you go ever hear your boy Prez give you some kudos, because in this situation, man, I'm just all about like fathers like standing in their son's corner. But just knowing like Bronny has to feel so good about that, DJ, knowing, man, like, hey, I'm not going through this shit alone. Like, he's gonna be 10 toes down for me. He's gonna make sure that I'm straight, right? And then
Yeah.
Anthony Mackie, right? You guys all know him from 8 Mile, but Anthony Mackie, shit, he a legend in this game. Don't just dump him down to Clarence. You know what
Nah,
I'm saying?
that's Captain America.
But see, there you go. See, DJ, see, he from that generation. That's what he know him as. See, I know him as Papa Doc. But
Ooh, that's, yeah.
Clarence, you know what I mean? But but this is another example, DJ, of when black men speak up a little bit. And sometimes people like, ooh, okay, I kind of know what you're saying, but I don't like how you said it.
No,
And
literally.
so he wanted a pod. I'm not giving free publicity, but if you guys go to Google, it's free. You'll know what podcast he was on. But he went on a podcast. He talked about the challenge of raising young black men, right? And this is the thing that isn't foreign to any parents out there, especially parents of black kids. Raising kids in America, especially in 2025, shit, man, it was complex during my time. What do you think it is now? So when I hear him talking about the fact of how he raises boys to become young men and be respectful, yes, sir, no, sir, and this and that, and he talks about his standard and how he views his sons and how he doesn't sit here and let them have a bunch of perceived, you know, how DJ said earlier about the nepotism with Bronny. Well, Anthony Mackie was like, I'm not buying these kid Jordans, I'm keeping them humble. And a lot of people, they got their feelings about it.
Yeah, it was weird to watch everybody getting their feelings because I kind of agreed with Anthony Mackie. The Jordans thing was a little extreme for my taste
Yeah, I
personally.
thought so too. I
Little
thought so
extreme for
too.
my taste,
I was like, what
but
the hell they got to do with anything? But yeah, go ahead.
yeah, like a little extreme for my taste. But the principle of what he was saying I fully agreed with. I was like,
A
yeah.
hundred percent.
Like I didn't like the seeing the controversy confused me because like I saw it and was like, I don't see what the issue was, what he just said. Like that one line, I'm like, they're gonna take that and run with it, you know, because I saw a couple like articles pop up with that same headline of like Anthony Mackie, he's not buying his kids Jordans. And I was like, also, as some respectfully, Jordans are expensive. I buy other shoes anyway. So I was like, well, you know, I was like, I can't really fight the whole, we're not gonna make them think they're all that, and you know, not in a sense like knock them down, but keep them in a place of like humble. That kind of does go along that path of like not having the newest thing and all the, you know, especially with material things anyway, and make sure they have a good work ethic. Cause some other parents have said stuff like that. I think Shaq one time mentioned something like that with his kids, where it's like, I'm gonna make sure you work hard and you earn it. And it's kind of the building of a character. So that's why what he said, I didn't see any issue with it. Cause I was like, you're establishing good character, especially with the no sir, yes sir, no ma'am, yes ma'am. Like that's good parenting to me. Like I said, Jordan
Agreed.
thing, a little extreme. But besides that,
Well,
no beef.
when Shaq said that to his sons, he was like, "We're not rich. I'm rich."
Right. That was
That's
funny.
a bar, and it's true.
Yeah. I mean, he's gonna provide for y'all, make sure y'all set, but we're not gonna also give y'all egos and not give y'all work ethics either to make y'all go earn and get your own thing. I don't know about everybody, but I know for me, it is one of those implied things where I want you to do better than I did in this family. Like in my family, it's like you gotta, you know what I mean? It's that we go on top of each other. I guess evolution in a sense. And I want to build off of that. So yeah, you gotta establish your kids have a work ethic to do better than you and not just be like, well, my dad got it, so I'm good. Like, you don't want that. So I truly respected what Anthony Mackie did.
So, what were your thoughts then when he basically said for the past 20 years, we've been living through the death of the American male?
I don't know. I feel like that's a little extreme to me of the whole masculinity thing. But I see, it's weird for me because I'm one of the people, I don't really have any struggles with my character and masculinity. So when it comes to people saying like for men as a whole, I do fall in that, like, I can understand both sides of an argument there. But I just personally, to me, I'm just like, I don't see it. But that also just might be me and my view of feeling really good in who I am as a person, that I don't see the whole we're not allowed to be ourselves thing. So I struggle with that conversation. I can't lie to you.
So for me, I will say, I mean, people that listen to this show, you guys know that I don't probably lack for much confidence, and obviously I stand no business over here. But I do actually agree with him about his thoughts on masculinity being killed, in the way that things go in these homes. My first example is look at how easy it is to push a man out of his home. And what my example is by that is women, a lot of times, are monetized or incentivized to not have a father figure in their kid's life. You get more money from the state if you don't know who the guy is, if he's not around. If he is around, you're getting half of the benefit. I also think, in my opinion, in our communities, we don't have the strong voice anymore in the community or the neighborhood. Those guys aren't there. What happened to them? What happened to the fact that when we were growing up, my grandfather and his father in that era, these were strong fathers. They were in the household. What happened? You mean to tell me that all the men now after that just became trash all of a sudden? What happened?
I agree with that point.
And the fact that he said, I raised my boys to be young men, I think people felt a way about that. Now, the only thing that I disagree with him on was he talked about when he's not at home. And he leaves the honor to one of his kids that you're the man of the house. I don't believe in that.
Yeah.
You ain't the man of nothing until you got your own house and
No,
your own roof
literally.
over your head
Amen.
and you're paying your own bills. I am not going to sit here and put that fucking type of heat on you to call you the man of the house. There's a lot that comes with that. I don't agree with that.
Yeah, that they yeah, no, I don't like that idea either. I mean, I'm also a little brother, so I never had, if anything, that was never gonna be slapped on me. My brother was gonna have to handle that anyway, secretly, not gonna cap. But honestly though, like that idea, yeah, to call him the man of the house, I feel like that I don't like that premise. 'Cause also it's like the whole pressure is supposed to be like carrying the family and when I'm gone. Like I don't That could do to a kid's mental with pressure. I don't like how that could go. I'm with you on that one. I'm not with that.
No, just let kids. I've been a firm believer, man. Let kids be. Let them grow up as they will, and as they will, and yeah. And I also kind of think that people's perceptions of masculinity are different, right? Because there's toxic versions of it, and it's just people that are just strong in who they are. But my thing is, what I've seen a lot is that sometimes some people are threatened by somebody that is pretty solid and forthright in the way that they present themselves and how they come off. I know specifically, I run into that issue a lot. And it's just like, well, why do I gotta change who I am? Because you're uncomfortable. You need to figure something out about you. Because
That's a
if
fair
I'm not
point.
disrespectful, and if I'm not doing anything that will be considered belligerent or anything like that, why can't I be honest and truthful and direct just like the next person? I've always said this. Just because someone else that looks different than me, doesn't have the shoulders that I have, says the same thing that I just said, and their comments, you walk away from those shrugging your shoulder. But then I do it, and it's, oh, well, you're arguing, you're being combative. It's like, whoa, whoa, what?
Yeah, I hate that narrative.
So that's what my point is. So when I'm hearing what he's saying about, I think slowly but surely they are trying to kill certain aspects of masculinity because they want everybody to be the same in how they communicate. They want everybody to be the same in how they, I don't know. It's just, we're not all the same. I know people don't want me to say that, but we're not. The way that I take in information, the way that I interpret, the way that I distribute or present information, it's going to be different than DJ. It's going to be different than Tom. It's going to be different. Yeah, we're all the same as far as we're all human beings, and nobody's more important, nobody's bigger than the next person, but we can't just expect that everybody is going to raise their kids the same way. We can't just expect that everybody's going to do things a certain type of way. You can hope, right? Like you and I talk about on the show all the time, DJ. You can hope that people do things the right way.
Right.
But we know how does that go? How's it going? And I think that's why I wanted to do this episode coming back, because I think there's a lot of myths out there, right? And I think that what Anthony Mackie brought up is kind of considered maybe a myth to some. But for me, I kind of look at it and I say, I do kind of think that he was onto something there. Now, some of the shit that he said was kind of out there, right? But I think that those type of things happen, right? Like the thing about it is on that particular podcast that he was on, that's barbershop talk. And I think that a lot of people don't realize that like there's all kinds of far-fetched shit that is said at the barbershop.
Truly.
And that's what you got there in that moment, right? That was just basically him just throwing shit out there, right? But I think what came of that situation is at least people thought about what he had to say and said, death of masculinity. And the fact that people had such strong reactions to that, I think that it at least shows you that some people were actually kind of thinking, is he right?
Yeah, there's something there.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But DJ, before we get out of here, I want to kind of go through and just kind of talk back and forth about some myths of ours, right? Because that one he says, death of masculinity. Hey, no one's going to agree with either one of us we have to say, and that's fine, right? But that's why we do the show, to kind of talk through these things. But what you got for us?
All right. So now, like the first myth I brought to the table is one that like I've heard a lot as a kid growing up, and I've heard, and I do not believe in it at all. And I feel like it's real wild. But this idea or thought that like Tupac and Biggie and Michael Jackson are all still alive, chilling on some island. Please tell me you've heard that mess. 'Cause I'm like, yo, let them people rest in peace, man. Stop playing. That's something I thought about. I was like, come on, y'all. Like, please.
I will say, out of the three of them, I think Biggie ass is definitely dead. I can see why people think that Pac is still alive. Michael Jackson, I don't know, man. I don't know. See, this is why we having this discussion now, because it's some people out there that's probably like, well, I don't know, Prez, man. I think Tupac did it in the doorknob. Whatever you think, Well, all I gotta say is why Tupac's mom, air quotes, cremate that man's body so quickly. Think about it.
I guess, but I'm
Tupac,
not buying it.
Tupac stayed getting shot and lived. He was like 50 Cent before 50 Cent. I get DJ. I'm not trying to sabotage DJ's take here, but I'm just saying that.
I don't buy
I'm just
it.
saying that we can play devil's advocate on those three.
I guess so, but I'm not buying
Not Biggie.
it. No, you're not giving Biggie no love.
No, it's not about the love. He was a big target.
That's oh dang. That'd be it.
No shade, Biggie. My bad.
I was like, big target's kind of crazy.
Sorry. But see, again, see, this is why people they gonna like this shit. Cause like, what do y'all think? Michael, Biggie, Tupac. Y'all probably think one of them is still alive. I definitely think Tupac's still alive right now in Tahiti somewhere.
See, it's all three of them, but everybody picks one, and I think they're all gone. I'm sorry, I'm not buying it. I personally am not putting no stake in one of them being on some desert island. I can't buy that narrative. I just cannot buy it. I'm like, just leave them alone, let them rest in peace. I can't do it. But what do y'all think? I don't think so, though.
Now, if we get a random Tahiti download to this podcast next week, then I'm already gonna know. I'm already gonna know. And Pac is gonna be our secret. We ain't gonna tell nobody else.
That's an easy download. I love it.
I'm just telling you, DJ, I would not put it past. That man got time to be a shot. Wouldn't you?
I guess. The Tahiti download. I'm still laughing about that. That's funny. Just that one download.
I'm just saying, I ain't never had anybody from
Uh-oh.
Tahiti listen to this show before then, so I'm just saying that'd be awfully random. Awfully random. Anyhow, I think mine, and again, audience, you know, when it comes to these myths, right, let's just humans up, right? So DJ, he brought up a goat because that's so true. You talk to so many people, everybody's got their ideas, which is fine, right? Until we start to believe them, like me over here talking to you all about Tupac still being alive. Now you're probably like, Prez is crazy. Well, yeah, probably. Now, bye. And this one's gonna get you guys really all riled up, but that's what I'm here for. Women's intuition. I think that's just a myth. It's bullshit. Women are not more intuitive than a man is. In reality, we're both born with intuition. But the reason why I say women's intuition is some bullshit is if women's intuition was such the thing that people claim to, then why do so many women get cheated on?
Yeah, oh, you stirring the pot today.
I just came to pod today. I'm just trying to tell you. How come you didn't see it coming? Why does so many of y'all end up with these deadbeat ass men that don't pay child support, that don't take care of the kids and responsibilities? You out here doing all this shit on your own, but you want to sit up here and talk to me about some intuition? I'm just asking serious questions here.
You know, to play a bit of devil's advocate though, I get what you're saying about you can't see it coming, but usually they just say men ain't shit to that one. I feel like that's the built-in response.
And what I'll say is that I'll say that they equally ain't shit because your pussy should be able to identify an ain't shit ass dude. Now what?
Yeah, you got me there. You got me there.
Oh,
But
I know I do. What else you got?
I
I
mean,
came to pod tonight, baby. What
hey,
else?
I you know, I feel like.
What
To
else you
say
got, Mr. Devil's Advocate?
it, I don't know, 'cause I feel like it is a bit of a real thing. See how you believe Tupac alive? I do believe women's intuition. I don't know. I do
That's
believe in it
cool,
just a little
but
bit.
stand on it then. So
I
what
don't,
else you got?
'cause I feel like just to, I don't know, 'cause now you did throw a curveball with the like you detect it. You threw a curveball that I wasn't ready for when I was 'cause I was kind of dang, you got me there. I can't lie, but I don't know. I just feel like this is one of those. Maybe I'm just subject to the myth, and they got me, and they just had me believe in it. I don't. But I just feel like there's times where my
Yeah,
mom
that's
will
because
put stuff
you subject to
together.
the lies. He's subject to the lies, ladies and gentlemen, and I am too. I was raised with women. I was around nothing but black women as a kid. And I sat up here and believed this, thinking, they know what the hell I did. They know what I've been doing, XYZ. They didn't know shit. And none of these marriages in this family lasted longer than fucking 3 years. They don't know shit.
See, the marriages last long in my family, and the women be smart though. They did get me. They my grandmother look at me and knowing I did something wrong. So my mom. So I feel like maybe it's just the. I guess they just know me well enough, and I'm pretty predictable. So I guess that may be why it's like, oh wow, they read me like a book just then. Like that's
I was
probably
gonna
what it
say,
is.
DJ, that you are pretty predictable.
Yeah.
So, and I haven't even known you as long, but yeah, I that one does not surprise me, sir. Does
You
not.
know. Good thing
Does
I
not
ain't. It's
surprise
good thing I ain't scared about that, cause I'd have hurt my feelings if I was. You were like, yeah. You were like, nah. You predictable. That's what it is. Like, that's kind of crazy.
me. And listen, I say it with love, though. I do.
Oh, I know.
I
I
do.
know. That's why I can laugh about it. But maybe that's what it is. Maybe just me being predictable, and they just know me so well. I'm like, man.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Maybe that's that. Maybe that like led that fed the lie that I was told. Cause I
Yeah,
don't
they
know.
know you. They know the look that you have, and also your voice. Those two, I've noticed that with you. So I'm
Yeah,
sure they
it
know.
gives
I'm sure they
oh
know.
yeah, the look, yeah, the face really gives it away for me. That's the worst part.
All right, what other miss you got before we get out of here? We need one more
You
from you.
know? All right. So, this one, 'cause I and you know this guy, I just wrote about this a little bit recently. Respectfully, I feel like this Caitlin Clark effect thing is a bit of a it's a myth to me. It's a bit of a lie. And here's what I mean. I'm not saying she's not good, so before you take that and run with it, that is not what I'm saying. But respectfully, they've deemed this thing like this Caitlin Clark effect of when she comes to games and people are seeing her and how much she's grown in the national audience. Respectfully, not that she didn't have a fan base, but like she, like every other college athlete and all of you that really truly watch women's basketball, had a bit of a fan base. The whole national attention didn't come until Angel Reese beat her and did the wave of hand, did the John Cena celly in her face. So to me, to kind of give Caitlin Clark this credit, I feel like it's not true. Angel Reese beat her, did something that everybody does, which is talk smack, and her being the great white hope for these people, they all jumped
Ha
on board and defended her. And that's really what this whole attention come to see her is just them supporting theirs because they didn't like when she lost. So, but like to give her the credit for the she's bringing all these eyes to the game, I'm like, realistically, no, Angel Reese beat her and everybody else went to go back their person because they didn't like that. Also, as we've said, and as Larry Bird, I'd argue in today's game, a Josh Allen at some points, in a sense, when they get someone that looks like them, that's good. They jump right on board. Christian McCaffrey, another one, where I'm like, respectfully, I feel like this Caitlin Clark effect thing is a bit of a myth. Because also, and like I said, I just wrote about this. Like, I saw this way they pitched this article. Someone else I saw was like, they act like the only games that were getting moved to bigger stadiums were just the ones that Clark is in. I was like, nah, someone in DC, the Mystics schedule, they already said they're moving them when Vegas comes to town and Chicago Sky. Like, it's not just them. The Sun did it last year when the Sparks came to town. That like had nothing to do with Clark at all. But they kind of feed you this lie that like she's the sole reason that this is happening. And I'm like, no. And even at that, it wasn't her game that brought all the people on her back. It was the fact that, she the big bag mean black girl beat her. That's really what that was. That's the narrative. That's really how it started in all reality.
So to play devil's advocate, since that's what you like to do so much, what would you say to the people that would tell you, "Oh, Angel, she can't shoot, and Caitlin, she's exciting, and her game is so much exciting, and I never watched basketball until Caitlin Clark came onto the scene." What would you say to those people?
Well, to the I didn't watch basketball. You didn't watch basketball until it was on your front doorstep. The same way that so many Americans avoided the whole police brutality thing till George Floyd was on your television screen, you couldn't ignore it. In a
Ooh.
way, you didn't watch women's basketball until that situation was in your face, and all you saw was that picture of Angel Reese's hand in her face. And any person then jumped on the bandwagon of the poor girl who's getting bullied, even though respectfully, some people who I've talked to don't realize that Caitlin Clark did it a couple rounds before. Like, that's the part that everybody just seemed to forget that happens. Like, she did it to Louisville first.
Oh yeah, she waved her hand to Raven Johnson's face. Like, yeah,
Yeah,
go ahead and shoot that.
same thing. Like, but that all just got forgotten the moment. So to that, I'd say that the whole Angel Reese, she can't shoot thing, it's a different position. That's the other part with this rivalry that doesn't make sense to me, is they pit it like it's Reese versus Clark, like they're guarding each other. Like, at least with Magic and Bird, they were at least when they had their, that version of the race war in a way. That's what it feels like. Like, at least when they did it, they were in those times where Bird was actually guarding Magic and vice versa. Angel Reese is a big. Killing Clark's a guard. They're never even crossing paths for real. Like, unless Clark decides to come to the paint, but Clark shoots, so she's not coming to the paint no how. So what are we doing? Like, so to that, it's different play styles, and because they try that with injuries, and the hate is so forced and it's unnecessary with the whole, what they show her like missing layups and stuff, and I'm like, it's just ridiculous because it's like this, they're not even playing the same position or same play style. So to try to do the whole she can't shoot thing, it's just dumb.
I mean, people know how I feel about this whole topic, so I'm not going to really go into it too much because we've talked about it so many times already. But we know what this is at the end of the day. This myth is more based on things outside of the basketball court, and that's pretty much where I'll keep that.
Basically.
My last one here is this was something I used to hear people say all the time when I was coming up, and they would say, never go to bed angry and upset, right? And I tried to. And seriously, DJ, I used to try to like model that behavior. And I tried to never go to bed upset or angry and all this other stuff. And it sounds good, right? Until you're
Sure
the type of
does.
person like me that has to have the last word.
Me too.
See? So, with that being said, sometimes it's okay to go to bed upset. Because if you're the type of person that things are going to just keep going on and keep going on, and there's going to be all this unnecessary back and forth. That's when things start to spiral. That's when they get out of control a little bit. And so I think that when people used to say that shit, it sounded good in theory, but a one size fits all approach never works to any sort of situation. And to me, that's what that kind of comes off as.
Yeah. I don't got no devil's advocate for you that time. Because I feel like that is one of those things that I've heard. And that's why I laugh when you said it. Because I've heard that all the time. And I'm like, to me, if something upsets me before I go to bed, to try to pretend to be like, let me get happy real quick before I sleep, like, that's just not showing my true emotions. Like, I'm just saying, like, what are we doing? And like the last word thing, I laugh because like me and my dad are kind of the same way. So I'd be honest, there's times we really would truly butt heads. And now, granted, we make sure to tell each other we love each other as we're going to bed. But now to pretend that I'm not still mad is that's a full blown lie. Like, no, I did go to bed a little mad because I know why I said what I said and what the argument we just had. It's no secret what just happened. Like, to now just go to bed and pretend it didn't happen. Like, no, I might I, if anything, I sleep the anger off and wake up like, all right, it's a new day. We'll let that go. I'm just saying, like, don't go to bed
Sleep anger
angry.
off is fucking fire.
I'm just that's honestly what I do. I can't lie to sometimes I'd be angry. I'm like, I need a nap. Then when I wake up, it's like, all
Oh
right, you know what?
no.
I let that go now. I done took a nap. I'm tired. Like, I done slept it off. I'm good. Like, I go to bed angry a couple good times a month. Unfortunately, to this myth, like, oh no, I ain't been falling ass since I was about seven. I ain't gonna lie.
I respect that. I appreciate the honesty. That was real. That was real. But so you see what I'm saying? And there's probably somebody that's listening to this and they're like, no, I believe in clearing the air. I don't want to go to bed like that because what's going to happen is what happens if I don't wake up the next day and that person's going to think that I'm mad at them. And I'm like, guess what? If something like that happens and there's nothing you can do about it now, you won't remember it.
Well, also to think that if that unless y'all fought all the time, there's obviously you're obviously not gonna just remember the bad. Like what are we doing?
Yeah,
Not
and just
like
because that was
that.
the last moment you had, yeah, in that moment that sucks, but like to your point, you gonna remember the good times, I would hope.
I'd assume so anyway.
Unless it was somebody you didn't fuck with, right? Then
Well,
like,
yeah, then that's a little different.
I've kind of gone through that like recently with somebody that I didn't really rock with and they passed away. I had to think about the person's significant other, their kids. So for me, it became less about him and more about, damn, I feel bad for the kids.
Right.
All right, what can I do to make sure that they're good, right? So I've been there, but I'm also not a fake person, so I didn't act like when I heard the news, I was kind of like, oh man, oh, that's terrible, right? Because I'm not heartless, but then I was thinking like, well, I'm not gonna go to the funeral.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. I'm not gonna lie now.
No, listen, one of my biggest days of my life, this person didn't come. So, anyway, that's gonna make me sound like really awful that I just said that. May he rest in peace. Yeah, listen, I'm just too honest with my own damn good. I'm sorry, audience.
That was what make you sound real wild. I ain't gonna lie. You said that, I was like, ew, like my teeth clenched and got real tight. I was like, oh, ooh.
And if she listened to this show, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. My grandmother's always say, she's like, do better. I'm trying. I really am. I'm trying. DJ, gonna hit him with that curtain call.
All right, y'all. This current call goes out to one Pamela Harding, the woman I affectionately call Nana. To my nanny, I'ma love you and miss you. She was a registered nurse, a devout Christian, and she just ended her fight with cancer on February 19th. Nana, I love you. I miss you. Thank you for all the cruises and Celtics games and all the good times. But as I said at your memorial service, this is not goodbye, but simply see you later.
Hey DJ, thank you very much for that curtain call and well said. And Nana, we'll all see you one day. At least I hope I will. I know DJ will see you for sure, but hopefully I'll see you too one day. Audience, as always, we appreciate your continued support of the platform. As we always say, without you, we wouldn't be. We're the Pulling Back the Curtain podcast. Thanks for listening.